Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast 2021 edition. My name is James Gilmore, the world is on fire, and joining me amidst the flames is Matthew Ford.
Hello.
We're all back, we're still alive. Barely.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
So
nothing's changed apart from the calendar.
It's gone worse. We were all so happy to put 2020 in the rearview mirror and be like, thank God that awful year is out of the way. Oh no, wait, what's this on the horizon? No, it's tier 4 and everyone's shut down and there's an actual coup happening and oh my God.
I'm just waiting for the meteorites now just to wipe us all out. Like
praying for the meteorites.
Yes,
I think
yes, of course.
Yes, I was hoping to come back to the show fresh and bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and with, like, we've cured COVID, all the vaccines are done, and everything's okay. No, it's just, they're still terrible. I think this is very much going to be 2020 part two.
Oh, no.
The harshening.
No, it's positive, it's a new year, we need that.
We're gonna try and keep it positive, so we're not going to dwell on all the awful stuff beyond saying that I hope everybody made as much of the holiday season and the New Year stuff as they could, whatever situation they were in. We were in England, so we were completely locked down. Yay! So I spent my New Year's Eve by putting on a shirt and tie and waistcoat and then sort of sitting at the table with my wife in my house. That's all we were allowed to do. But we are not going to be focusing on that. What we're going to do is what we promised last time in that tiny little 3-minute not podcast that I did at the end of last year. I promised we would be doing a recap of 2020 and a general look ahead to the good stuff that we hope to expect. That's exactly what we're going to be doing today as promised. We'll do a bit of news first because there is some stuff to catch up on. Then we're going to share our favorite games of the last 12 months and then talk about what we can be looking forward to in 2021, because there is good stuff. Good stuff will be happening, I promise. So, we'll kick things off, as we always do, with the news. It's rare to be bringing up Minecraft with the term failure next to it, Matthew. Juggernaut of entertainment that it is, and constantly popular with everybody. Well, I was going to say below a certain age, but everybody really seems to continue to love Minecraft. Not so much Minecraft Earth, which was the mobile geolocation iteration. They should have called it that. That would have got a lot more downloads of the game, i.e. a Minecraft that was based on wandering around and using location business in the same way that Pokemon Go and what's the one beginning with I that had an anime made?
Ingress.
Ingress, and yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. So that's getting shut down. That, as it turned out, was not what people were looking for Minecraft.
No.
Now, do we think that's a general, like, because Minecraft isn't suited to that kind of location-based wander-around play, or do we think that's a result of everybody getting locked in their houses for a year?
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. I just think location-based games have not really, outside of Pokemon Go, there hasn't been a game that has shown its worth and it's proven the market. I wrote up a brief piece on it about, like, our location-based games off the map now, and Minecraft Earth failed to cross 500,000K in its lifetime revenue.
Wow.
Which, for comparison, Pokemon Go did 482 million in the US alone.
In the US? Oh my God.
It's just on another level altogether. Mm. So yeah, there's just no comparison, you know. There's Wizards Unite, which didn't pick up that well.
The Harry Potter one, yeah, that didn't.
Yes, that's the Harry Potter one. Five Nights at Freddy's AR is another one that's just come out recently. That did all right with downloads, but it never really took off.
It's a rare thing to see something Minecraft-based close down. I wonder how long that Minecraft RPG thing is going to last. But it doesn't matter, because the core game still remains one of the strongest things around. So they will continue to go from strength to strength. Speaking of, we're going to go into the whole, like, best things of 2020, but in terms of just games and gaming 2020, it's had a very good year, while lots of other industries have had a very, very bad year. And it's easy and obvious to see why, in the same way that, you know, Amazon's worth has suddenly, like, doubled in the last 8 months, because, hey, no one can go outside, so everyone be ordering all their coffee through Amazon now, or their everything through Amazon now. And the same is true of video games. We've all been stuck inside and we've been looking for distraction and entertainment and something to do. And so everyone's like, I wonder if everybody fancies playing some Fortnite. And that's what's happened. So, like, the sales have gone up and everything. We've had new consoles come out at the end of last year, which obviously has a huge impact because there's that spike in excitement and interest and everything. But just gaming in general, it's just, you look at the stats, which I won't go through, but everything's kind of gone whoop, a little bit. And I think we're going to continue to see that trend in 2021.
We're still all stuck inside at the end of the day. So nothing's going to change. And, you know, interest in games is constantly on the rise. And this has just, you know, pushed it even further.
It makes it much more mainstream. And I think parents have had to sort of see it, especially with parents stuck inside with their kids all day, have become very conscious of the fact that, hey, my kid's spending like 8 hours a day on Minecraft or on Fortnite or any of the big ones. And I think given that initially people tend to go like, this is terrible. Now, I think you're starting to see the whole parental vibe of like, you know what? If it distracts them, cool. Because frankly, I'm sick of looking at the pair of you. Get out of my sight.
Yeah.
Rather than that, like, oh, it's the weekend. We've only got 2 days with you. Get off the computer and let's go and look at a duck in a pond. Now it's much more like, please go away. I'm trying to work and I'm going to kill all of you. So
we are assuming, for the record, neither of us have kids here, so we are just assuming.
I'm basing it on first-hand accounts from friends and relatives who do have children. So I have seen the impact that, you know, parents being locked in to work from home with their kids and trying to do homeschooling while also doing their job at the same time. It's not easy. So I have huge amounts of sympathy for anyone in that position, and I think they're more now seeing like that bit where they go off and play Minecraft or whatever as a reprieve, a glorious, well-welcomed break from them sneaking up behind them in the office and going, I want a thing. let's talk about it. So we're going to focus specifically on mobile and portable stuff in general, which obviously just means Switch, really, unless there was some amazing new Vita game that got released that I didn't hear about. So those are our two kind of primary things. Obviously, Matthew has mobile and Switch. I'm mobile focused entirely. But there's been some big ones in general. And we did our big kind of top five games of the year list over on the Pokegamer YouTube channel, which is the thing I put together. A lot of staff members on PG and Biz sort of put together their own lists. So we've got a whole variety of like different top fives and tens and things kicking around based on our own preferences. So this is going to kind of be our individual picks of the year or stuff that we really liked, but broadly speaking, across all platforms, it continues to be a big year for Fortnite, obviously, continues to be a big year for Minecraft, because every year is. The one that I think we both saw and got involved with a little bit, but you have to admire the rise of and what happened, the impact it made, is Genshin Impact. I said impact twice there, didn't I?
I was going to say, I see what you did there. I thought you were going to lean into
purpose. That was just my brain being lazy. Because it's a game that came out and got everybody's attention, not just in the mobile market, but because it was a fully cross-platform game, everybody sort of, you know, it got pushed into everyone's feed. And so all the console-focused sites went, all right, let's look at this free-to-play thing, bloody hell. And everyone started playing it and went, I don't quite like this. It seems to be quite good.
That's the thing. Everybody went into it expecting, you know, a Breath of the Wild clone and actually realise it's something more.
I think they expected a Breath of the Wild clone, but more importantly, expected a crappy free-to-play knockoff grind fest that was no fun and wound up with something that was actually a lot deeper and more interesting and in some cases improved on little bits and pieces. It is still a free-to-play gacha game. It is. That's what you do. You go and you do the things and you unlock and you get your characters and you can, you know, pay money for unlocking things. And it's got all those aspects that people dislike from the free-to-play stuff, but it somehow managed to put it over in a way that wasn't overwhelmingly obnoxious, which is where a lot of games trip up, I think.
I see that. Yep.
They throw a lot of stuff in your face about buy this on the off, and that's what irritates people. And obviously, if it's backed up, if all that stuff exists, but the spine of the experience is a game that people enjoy playing, that looks good and feels nice, and people like the characters and like the world, then you're a bit more forgiving towards the gacha stuff.
Mm-hmm. From the 10-12 hours I put into the game, I didn't feel once inclined to spend money.
And it's a proper campaign, and you can play through it, and you can do it all for free in a way that doesn't feel dreadful. But yes, if you want to spend 100 hours in it, I think you do reach a point where the game wants you to start dropping money. But at that point, 100 hours into the free game, it's like, you know, fair play. Like, all right, I'll
throw you a bone. Yeah,
I'm inclined to give you a £4.99 at some point, just because if I've spent that much time in it and gotten genuine enjoyment from it, then it's worth it. Like, this is what I mean about the in-app purchases. You've got to do them in a way that isn't awful and isn't like breaking the game to try and put its hand into your wallet. And this one seemed to manage it. People who are usually offended by this kind of thing weren't as offended and were a lot more on board. So I think that's an interesting turn. The other thing that kind of crept in at the last minute that I think is going to be huge this year, but, you know, technically it's been around all 2020, is the new mobile League of Legends game. So League of Legends Wild Rift, which has been in beta overseas for a bit. It's still technically in beta at the moment. But it just came to the UK like sometime late November, early December.
Yeah, I was going to say December, it started rolling out a bit to further territories, didn't it? Yeah.
And I did a comparison video thing, and I wanted to learn more about it. So I played League of Legends back in the day, like 2009 League of Legends first appeared. Mm. So I downloaded it again and played a bunch. And then I got Wild Rift and played a bunch. And I was interested to see, like, how much of a gimped mobile port is this? Is this like a, have they done the we'll make a completely different game thing? Which I often say is a good idea. Mm-hmm. Like, don't port Tomb Raider, make a game based around Tomb Raider that works for mobile.
I agree.
Or have they done a more of a straight port? And they have done more of a straight port. This is pretty much a standard game of League of Legends with a few changes. But those changes are A, sensible, and B, designed to make things quicker and more suited to a mobile platform. But it still 100% feels exactly like League of Legends. The only things that they've done really is they've reduced some of the defenses. Because I don't know how much you've played any LOL, any of these kind of MOBAs at all. No, not at all.
Never touched it. No, I know. I've had friends that are like obsessed with it. And I've obviously seen so much about it. But I've never had any interest to jump in personally.
No, so it's these, like, you know, you're on a team and opposing another team, and there's, I think, was it 4 or 5 of you, I think, and you're just trying to take control of the map mostly. You're just trying to push down one of three lanes, and at each kind of junction point in the lanes, you've got these big obelisk things that are defensive towers for either side, mm-hmm. And the map is kind of a mirror of itself, and you just have to smash your way through two or three lines of defenses and then get to their big spinny red glowing orb. You see it, I'm not a pro, so I don't even know the name of it. But basically, just blow up their home base, you know. It's the thing that when Clash Royale came out, everyone was like, oh, you're doing it sort of a MOBA, kind of, but not really. It's this weird micro hyper MOBA.
Are they all like generic characters, or do you all... do they all have like personalities and,
oh, yes.
You know, you got to pick your own... And level it up, sort of thing. Yeah.
Imagine like Overwatch level characters, but there's like 150 of them.
Oh wow, yeah.
On the PC version. On the mobile version, far fewer at the moment. They've got 49.
That's still a difference.
Still a lot, I know. Yeah. It's just a case of, like, a lot of the turrets don't have these platelets, armor platings on them, so they've removed a couple of layers of defense, which means basically you can hack through them quicker. And then when you get to the home base thing at the end, that big spinny red doodad, that doesn't have additional turrets stacked around it on the mobile version. So again, it means you can just cut straight through and start pounding the base. So all of this stuff has been done just to make it quicker at every stage, but keeping the entire game intact. And so it feels like the exact same thing, just sped up. Mm-hmm. And really works. Like, I was worried about the controls, as I always am with these things, because this is a game that's designed to be played with the mouse and keyboard and shortcuts and control one, control two to activate powers and all that kind of stuff. And they've had to do the whole, like, we're going to put a bunch of buttons in the bottom right-hand side of the screen. But because it's that top-down perspective where you're dragging things around and characters move slowly, it doesn't really matter. And it doesn't obscure your view of the game too much. And it moves at just about the right speed where you don't feel restricted by it. Well, certainly I didn't. And they've done a nice thing where if a power is directional, you just put your thumb on the power and then drag. And then a little kind of indicator of where the power is going to go. You know, the little, this is the line of attack, glowy bit appears. And then you release and then the fire goes across that line. So it fits really well. And it goes live. Because this is another thing where the game is so huge on PC and has been for ages. When this goes properly global, and if it continues to work as well as it does, I could see this being massive.
Yeah, like, that's one of my questions, and like I'm interested to see what impact it actually has when it launches, you know, because a lot of these games do have slow rollouts with the soft launches and the betas and stuff, and sometimes that can fizzle out, I feel, by the time it actually comes to the full launch. Are people actually going to, you know, log in?
I think that the like a lot of the people, because I went to some forums and I did actual research. And a lot of the people who are LOL people were coming back with, hey guys, this is pretty good, which is not what you generally expect. Often what you get is a lot of people going, oh, this is mobile trash, you know, I'm not going to be playing this crap version, you know, lol. Remember what happened when they announced the Diablo mobile game with that trailer?
Yeah.
And it was mobile at the end. Everyone went, no! Like, that's not the reaction this is getting. People are like, this is quite good. So again, we're going to be keeping our eyes very closely pinned on this, and go and check out the little video on there.
It'll be a word of mouth thing, you know. It doesn't get the expected launch, but you know, eventually it builds up, and you know, stuff like Among Us, which takes on another life a year on, so that sort of thing. Like,
yeah, which, good segue, is another one of the sort of games of the year, even though it came out in 2018, like globally on PC and that. I don't know if it was released on mobile back then.
I think it was 2019.
Was it 2019 it came out? But
off the top of my head.
We made it an honorary game of 2020 because 2020 was where it came into its own. Yes. This is the year where it really took over everything. Like a lot of people didn't even know about it before that and no one cared. But 2020 was the year it kicked off. And again, that lockdown thing, man, like a way of doing something which is an inherently social game. But also, I don't know if there was a thematic reference. I made a remark about it in the video, but it's like, so it's a game about a bunch of people being stuck together in a location. If they go outside that location, they will die, and there is an invisible killer threat that's picking them off one by one, and they don't know who it is, and everyone's suspicious of the person standing next to them because they might be the one who's going to kill them. So something about all of that rings a little bit close to home.
Are you trying to say Among Us predicted COVID, like Simpsons predicted everything?
It's an interesting mirror. Well, because obviously it was made years ago, but yeah, there's something about that game setup where it's like, maybe it was a catharsis for everything, because like, we spent our entire time locked in these buildings, looking at our neighbours suspiciously, or anyone who coughs in the street, everyone says, ooh, and like freaks out, you know, that kind of vibe. And we haven't been able to do anything about it. But in Among Us, you get to flush them out in airlock!
I mean, a huge part of this is down to Twitch as well. Like, that's been, if not the bigger part. I sort of think with Twitch, they're always looking for that next big game. And this seems to just hit at the right moment with everything else going for it.
People like watching that kind of stuff where people accuse other people of things. It's got a reality TV vibe to it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm not even a big Twitch guy. But with Among Us, there's been a few I've actually, you know, watched a good couple hours of people playing, like, you know, influencers I follow and that sort of thing. I'd be like, oh, let's see. It's based off, you know, the classic game Mafia, isn't it?
Yes, and I know there's been a few since. There's another game. Oh,
Village and Werewolves?
Yeah, the Village and Werewolves, yeah. Yes.
It's all literally me and my friends were doing on Zoom before Among Us hit big.
Right,
and then
right,
it hit big, and I was like, hey guys, do you want to play this game? And they're like, no, we're so sick of Mafia or anything related, so it's not happening.
Now, let's pare things down to actual individual like preferences. So we'll start with you. What was, like, we've got just a few handful of our favourite games. What was one of your fave games of 2020?
I think I've got to start with Animal Crossing. I mean,
okay.
It's just, that was the lockdown game. That is the game that still continues to be a lockdown game for many, many people. You know, such a therapeutic game as well for so many people, just to be able to go outside in some way and go and, you know,
virtually.
Yeah. You know, go and plant and cut down some trees and decorate your island the way you want it to, and just live with these lovely animals who won't talk of politics or, you know, about a virus. I mean, again, it's just one of those games that was right place, right time.
Pretty much like the moment it all kicked off, or certainly the lockdown thing kicked off.
March. So it was,
so it was perfect.
That's when the UK went into lockdown first as well, wasn't it, March? Yeah. So, I mean, the sales speak for itself. It's going to easily be the biggest selling Switch game, if not one of the biggest selling games of all time. I think by the time its run ends, I just had such a lovely time with it, especially that first month. That first month, myself and my partner, every day we were on there, checking in, gradually building up our island, building up our houses, seeing I had this weird routine, chopping the trees down and collecting the wood and everything. And I don't know why, it was just something that was really relaxing and what an amazing, fantastic game, and I'm glad it exists.
Funnily enough, I have been playing something recently, a game called Forager, which was out in 2019 on other platforms, but just came to mobile. And that's one of those craftdom survival games, you know, there's a lot of them around. But it's the first one where I've slightly enjoyed the feedback of just wandering around, chopping down trees that they then need to go and put into a furnace to burn a thing to make some iron ingots to then go and turn into something else. This crafting games, I don't really give a toss about. I'm not into that stuff. I'm not into Minecraft. Just give me the axe. I don't want to have to get 25 components to make the thing, to make the other thing, to make the other thing, to make the axe. It just all feels like busy work. I don't get a sense of satisfaction out of it. But here, the little dude just going chop, 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 and then you go around and start digging up the island as well. And it's not Animal Crossing, but it's got that still, you're in charge of an island and you've got to use the resources and start building a kind of, you know, a machine of industry. And I was find myself enjoying watching the dude go chop, 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 doof.
Oh, that's adorable, James.
I started to feel the therapeutic effects. I was like, this is quite nice. I quite like it.
Honestly, there's something there. I do think there's something there with that, you know, regular routine, comfort food, isn't it? You know, it's just something safe, something you can go and do on your own and get away from the world. There's something there, and that's what Animal Crossing is. That's a game I will remember on Switch for years and years, and I will associate it with the lockdown, for better or worse.
You and a lot of other people. So yes, Animal Crossing's a well-deserved place. Well, I got hold of something around about April, which is a game on Apple Arcade, sorry, Android people, called Round Guard, which I've mentioned before, but it's one of the ones I kept coming back to for a lot of reasons. We did some stuff on Launchpad about them, so it prompted me to re-download it again. But it just reminded me that this was a really interesting mashup. Like, I quite like it when you get these hybridized genres where they take two things and smash them together. Often it'll be garbage, and you go, that's why we didn't put them together in the first place. But occasionally it works. And Round Guard is a Peggle RPG, basically. It is Peggle, i.e. fire the ball from the top, bounce it off all the other balls to try and, like, you know, get rid of them all, and then eventually it falls to the bottom. But instead of a ball, you have an actual character, like a mage or a warrior or rogue or whatever. And these characters have attacks, and they have mana, and they have hit points. In addition to just lots of objects that you're bouncing off of and disappearing, those objects are sometimes health potions or mana potions or enemies. Lots of enemies floating in the middle of this, what would normally be just a screen with a picture of an llama behind it or something. But in the case of Round Guard, it's a dungeon. You're in a dungeon. And there's loads of spikes on the floor and the little arcanoid paddle that's moving backwards and forwards across the bottom turns into this kind of like elegant throne sofa thing if you hit it. It's very much just like, yeah, I immediately know how to play this because I've played Peggle. So there's that. And then it assumes that base knowledge. And then all the RPG stuff is the stuff you have to learn. Mm-hmm. So all the characters that appear on screen, so your enemies, they'll also pop up in a little bastard column on the right-hand side. And they've got hit points and they've got specific weaknesses and armor resistances and stuff like that. And whenever you hit them, that kind of counts as an attack. So you will lose probably some energy or some health. And likewise, you'll knock some of their armor value down. And you have to keep an eye on this all while you're playing. You can't just stare at the bouncing. Because very easily, you'll look to the left of the screen and go, crap, I've got like 2 health left out of 130. I'm about to die. Because you were paying attention to something else. So you have to start thinking about it like a combat game. But then also, you have these individual attacks you activate on the left and right-hand side of the screen. So if you're playing as a mage, when you complete areas of the dungeon, you'll maybe unlock certain powers. And you can get like lightning attacks where you obviously when you move near, so just as you're about to hit a dude, tap the lightning button and then you'll get a big lightning discharge around your character. So you can frazzle loads of things at once. Or in one case, there's a really nice thing where there are these spiders moving up and down the sides of the screen. And it's like you're connected to the spiders by 2 pieces of spider's web.
Okay.
So it almost looks like your character is doing this weird bungee with cords connected at the side.
That's quite cool.
And there's a power which allows you to send electricity across those threads, across those spider threads. Mm. So basically you get these 2 lines going across the screen at which you are a central point of. And then you can kind of like, if you time it just right, when the threads are covering or passing through the most enemies or objects. Then you got loads of weird ones where you're like, you just throw a frog out. at your enemies, and it bounces around of its own accord. And there are loads of other ones. This is just mostly the mage stuff, because that was my favourite character.
Is it fair to say this Ramguard is easy to learn, but sort of like hard to master? One of them ones?
It's got a surprising amount to it, because it's a roguelike. So every time you die, you go back to the beginning. And you're actually playing through a series of dungeons that are interconnected and often have branching pathways. So between every stage that you complete, it pulls up a map. And you will have the option to maybe go in one of three different directions at the bottom of the screen. So you can fire your dude into one of three different portals. And that will take you down a different branch. And then obviously if you die at the end of it all, then it just goes back to the beginning and all the maps and the paths are randomly generated and reset. So there's a surprising amount going on in it. And I found it like properly engaging and just a nice refresh of an existing idea that works very well, and then layering something over the top of it that actually adds rather than detracts from it for me. So it's not quite the elegant simplicity of just Peggle, but I really felt like it worked. So yeah, Round Guard. It is also available on Switch, I should point out. It's not just an Apple Arcade game, so you can get them on both platforms, but that was a real good one for me. And if you've got the Apple Arcade and haven't downloaded it, do so. It's a giggle.
Mm.
All right, what else have you been playing? What did you like, 2020?
Oh, what do you want, a mobile one or a Switch one?
Do mobile.
Okay, let's go with Trivia Royale.
Okay.
So
it's not on my list, you'll be surprised to hear.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, it's not the best of games. I would never, if I was making like literally critical, because this is always such a different thing, your favourite games compared to what you think are the best games.
Yeah, that's not the same thing.
No. Completely different sort of thing. So Trivia Royale, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a trivia battle royale game that came out, I think, about halfway through last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Tea Time Games. It's just one of those games I just picked up and, you know, would spend 5-10 minutes here and there, and then I'd end up, it'd be 2 hours later. Two different versions. One is the battle royale mode, where there's 100 different people and you get loads, it's, you know, general knowledge, and it's who can keep answering the questions until they win, and you have to be the first to answer it sort of thing, and then, you know, that determines the winner overall.
Okay.
You then have the categories mode, where it's all your specialist stuff, so whatever that is, movie, video games, cooking, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You make your way up the leaderboard, so you go head to head towards different people, and the more wins you get, the further you go up, and then you can determine that by location. So either global, country, or city. So for my city, I got obsessed with getting to the top of the leaderboard for video games.
Okay.
And I spent probably an embarrassing amount of time trying to keep that going, sort of thing. And I just check in maybe once a day and go, oh, still at the top. Good, good, good. Oh, who's this? I don't think so. Let me get a couple more wins in and hold on to my place. I got a friend really big into it as well for a while. And he's in the same city as me. So we're just, again, going head to head, and, you know, he'd just send me screenshots of going, oh, look who's ahead again. Like, and, you know, it's that sort of thing. I think the battle royale aspect is fantastic. And that, to be honest, that is probably the better part. But for some reason, the categories I just got really into for probably a good month and a half, and then I've been dipping in and out.
It's a nice indirectly social one as well.
Absolutely.
You know, another good lockdown thing. So now that makes total sense. I know a lot of people are doing quizzes. And in fact, I know people are doing a lot of like, let's do a Zoom quiz. And everyone was like sick of that very quickly. I'd managed to avoid that until Christmas, where I have a group of friends. It's like, all right, then what we'll do is, rather than doing one online, we will all come up with questions. We'll all do a category each, and then we'll all act as Quizmaster. And that wound up being quite fun against all the odds, because I think we're all sick of, hey, let's do an online quiz. Is it a free thing? You can do it all free, I assume.
It is free. It's got adverts, but I paid to take them off. I think it was
cool.
$4.99 or something, if that.
Earned their credits. Yes. Fair enough. So Trivia Royale then. Well, there was one that came out in May. This is back on mobile. This is Android as well, so anything. And this is something that I think maybe I liked more than everyone else did. I don't know. But there is this game called B.A. Walker. B-E-A Walker.
Okay. I can't remember this whatsoever.
Right, so this came out on Switch, it came out on Steam, okay. It came out on mobile. I think it works best on mobile, maybe that's why.
Is this the one with the legs?
That's the one with the legs, yeah. Because I like the way that it moves. So you take control of a mech, basically, and you're stomping from left to right across the screen, and you're trying to blow the crap out of what is clearly the indigenous peoples of some land, right? So it's got a bit of the whole, you know, you're an AT-AT walker stomping your way through Ewoks, or you're one of the big mechs in Avatar smashing your way through the Na'vi, or, you know, that same thing of big evil technology versus tiny little people with bows and arrows who are probably the, you know, have the moral high ground. But it was the way that you control it that made it interesting to me, because it's one of these games a bit like Quop, where you control each individual leg. So you're tapping left and right with your thumb to kind of move the legs, boof, 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 and make them walk forwards and backwards as well, because you have to, like, you know, occasionally you mess up and you have to move back. And the way that that feels, the timing that you have to get into, requires you to be kind of constantly engaged and start to develop technique, because not only are you stomping forward, you can also, you know, shoot things as well. You're actually, sometimes it's easier to just stomp people with your evil robot legs. And so you have to get the aim just right. And I can imagine, like, doing this on Switch or something, maybe you're just pressing A, B, or two different buttons with the same hand. There's something about holding the touchscreen and having you being like straight onto the phone and watching the legs move up, like, directly beneath your thumbs.
Yeah, yeah.
That gave it a little bit more engagement. I don't know what it was, but there was something that made it feel much more connected. And it does have a plot, and it does have upgrade paths. You know, you stomp your way across, you land at a base, you do some upgrades, change out your loadout, and then you keep stomping forward again. And as you start going through the game more and more, you're like, maybe am I the baddie? And it's not that that's, like, new or especially different or anything, but it's a nice little layer underneath. But honestly, just the physical action of it, there was something very engaging about the mechanic that gave me pleasure and kept me coming back to having another go to feel that again and do the stomping and do the shooting and the rest of it. So yes, be a walker. Maybe a bit of an odd one. It's $4.99, I think, on Google Play. It's been surprisingly well reviewed. I was expecting it to get a kicking, but it hasn't. But I think everywhere else it's gotten like sixes and sevens.
Nothing wrong with sevens. You know,
true.
Sometimes sevens can do the world a good.
They can. And I haven't played it on Steam, so maybe it doesn't translate as well on a big screen, but something about the mobile version. All right, you've got another Switch one, haven't you?
I have, yes. So Paper Mario the Origami King.
Oh, you're right. Which is interesting because this got some slightly mixed notes from people, didn't it?
I think it got mixed to good. I don't think it's difficult with the Paper Mario series. People haven't been happy since the first two. And then we've had, what, 3-4 iterations afterwards, and it's never been quite what people wanted. Yeah. And for me, this is the closest we've had since the first two. I reviewed it. I had a fantastic time with it. I thought the comedic writing excelled. There were actually moments in it where I'd pause the game just, you know, because I want to keep going with the dialogue. Because it's all like, you know, text. But I just pause it and, like, I was generally laughing and putting it down because it's very well written. It's not that much as an RPG game, which the Paper Mario games traditionally have been. Princess Peach has been kidnapped, and it's up to Mario, obviously, to rescue her.
I swear to God, if I hear that sentence one more time, just Nintendo, if I hear, so Princess Peach has been kidnapped, just like, we know. Like, it doesn't even bear worth mentioning anymore. You know what I mean? It's just like, whenever any synopsis starts out with, well, so Princess, like, yeah, all right, yes, this is kidnapped by the big dragon turtle. Yeah.
But she's been turned into origami this time, James.
Yeah, whatever. So, and I've seen this. I played the Link to the Past. No, Link Between Worlds. They've been turned into paintings. They've been turned into whatever they've been turned into. Who cares? They've been turned into bubbles.
Yeah, but that's
Legend,
Zelda.
Legend of the Bubbles. Uh-huh. Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, all right.
The start and end goal, not that great. It's the journey, and that's what they are known for. The wonderfully creative boss battles. It was a new ring-based system, if you remember me telling you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, where you got to line
for the battles.
You got to line the enemies up, and then you can attack them and sort of thing. It worked fine for me. It wasn't amazing, but the boss battles, they actually took advantage of the ring based idea in a much better way. I thought were brilliant. And it was just charming. I loved it, and I'm going to replay it again soon.
All right, and there's another one that some people wanted me to give honorable mentions to. So Creaks was a game that people like, which is the spooky platform kind of horror-ish thing, which has got a watercolor aesthetic, not a million miles away from the Amanita Design games. that I love, things like Machinarium and Botanicula and stuff like that. But it was an Apple Arcade spooky release with a really nice art style and kind of puzzle platformy business. We really liked it. Cameron, who used to work with us, was a big fan of it as well. We also had the Beyond a Steel Sky come out on Apple Arcade sequel, which was different from the old one, but that had been like however many decades in the making.
The Pathless as well, want to give a shout out to.
The Pathless, that was on our top five list, but I mean, you spoke about that a lot last year. But yeah, that one was an Apple Arcade thing, but again, cross-platform, appeared everywhere, similar to Genshin Impact, and that worked very well, particularly on mobile. Mm. I played a bunch of that at the end of last year for a video.
Useful on mobile as well.
Yeah, it works really well, and that travel mechanic's a good one. Yeah. When it comes to large worlds, it's always about making the traveling feel good between points, and that kind of almost ice skating, gliding across the ground, powered by, shooting things every few seconds to make sure you keep the charge meter high. That's a nice way to move around. That's very cool.
Yeah, very satisfying. And it's how it grows as well as you go throughout the game. It just gets even better. Mm.
I'm sure you guys listening have a whole bunch of favorites and we haven't hit all of them, or indeed any of them, because, people like weird stuff, don't they? So if there are ones that were your favorites, we've got lots of lists on both PG and PG Biz you can have a look at, and there is a top five mobile games of the year on the YouTube channel, so go and check that out. As for this year, in terms of things on the horizon, I'm mostly seeing how things develop, because we have this big soft launch list, or more specifically, you guys do.
We do.
That you keep updating. So there's always this kind of, if you want to see what's coming out in the future, everybody, just head over to Soft Launch Games on pokegamer.biz, and it's literally kind of everything that's currently available in whatever region that hasn't been officially released yet.
Specifically mobile, this is, yeah.
You can find all these interesting games that are sort of sitting there waiting to go. But in terms of stuff that's not available yet, I think we're probably going to be seeing that Diablo game, Diablo Immortal, appearing this year.
Oh, yes, good shout. They might quietly launch it and hopefully not get that big of backlash with it.
Well, I mean, the problem we've got is that people are going to be jumping right down its throat in a way that isn't helpful from the get-go. But, it might be really good. That new Nier game, Nier Reincarnation, they've done one which is kind of a remaster, and they're also doing another one which is going to be coming to mobile too. So there's a couple of versions. But both of them look lovely, at least the footage I've seen. I'm pretty sure there's two different games, and one of them is a remake and one of them isn't.
There's three in there now or something.
Is there three? What, for mobile?
Not mobile, but there's three Nier games.
But I'm specifically talking about the mobile thing. I think there's a couple, but we saw some early footage. Looks very promising. And the games themselves are interesting, so I really want to see if that turns into anything good. That new Tomb Raider game, Tomb Raider Reloaded?
Maybe, yeah. I'm interested to give it a go.
Albeit showing you no gameplay trailer was nice.
But she's got her guns, so I'm quite happy with that.
She's got her guns.
Not in that way.
She does. Yeah. We've got that new Witcher game. So talking about location-based things, The Witcher Monster Slayer was supposed to be coming out.
Yeah, location-based game.
Yeah, so let's see that tank in 2021.
Mm. Give a shout-out, which I'm looking forward to, but we'll see how it lands. Crash Bandicoot On The Run.
Oh, right. Is that not out yet?
That is launching in March. It says spring, but March 25th is looking like that might be the release date. First ever Crash Bandicoot mobile game.
I can't believe it's the first ever one. Mm. That's mad. Because to me, it seems like a complete no-brainer. But yeah, that could be good.
From King as well, so.
Yep, that's true. We've got something that we actually covered on the Launchpad streams. We actually showed you the first look at this. We've got the global exclusive on it, but Catalyst Black should be coming out. It's currently in soft launch in a few territories at the moment, but that is going to probably be going live 2021 as well. And that's from the guys who did Vainglory, and it's coming over that. Again, it's kind of a MOBA-ish hero battler. And that is going to be a big deal. So we're going to be keeping our eyes very closely on that one. I know there's another Pokemon game coming out, isn't
there? Pokemon Unite, I believe.
Unite, that's it. That's it.
The one that has been massively downvoted and already arguably more hated than Diablo. That's going to be...
It's another MOBA, isn't it?
Yes.
They've done a MOBA with it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's from Tencent Timmy Studio, who did Call of Duty.
Oh, okay, right.
Here's an interesting one, just quickly. Stranger Things Puzzle Tales. So, I know what you're thinking, but I just wanted to bring it up because it was originally supposed to be a location-based game, and they took that out altogether.
Oh, probably wise, because... Yeah. Seemed like a good idea at the time, before we weren't allowed to move anywhere anymore. There's a Castlevania game that I saw that is sort of hovering around in the distance as well. A brand new... Hang on, I'm going to have to Google to find out what it is. Because it does... Moonlight Rhapsody. There you go. There's a Castlevania game called Moonlight Rhapsody, which is going to be specifically mobile-focused and looks kind of old-school-ish as well. So it's going to maybe do that... the original games, like Symphony of the Night, that kind of thing. They ported Symphony of the Night, I think, onto mobile last year as well, and people quite liked it. So there's lots. There's plenty to be keeping an eye on. And all of these things, we're going to be talking about them over the next 12 months or so. So be sure to stick around, folks. We will wrap it up. Because we've already gone quite long, but it was always going to be a long one.
Yeah. But we did confirm that Super Smash Bros. Ultimate was Game of the Year again. Just so-
Matt! Oh, we got so close! So close! I was going to say we got through a whole podcast without you bringing it back somehow to Smash Bros.
I just had to sneak it in, you know.
Okay.
Thank you, Sakurai.
But we're going to be coming back. Whole new year of stuff. Like I said in that tiny little podcast last year, we've had people join, so there's going to be a few more mics kicking around the virtual office now. Because now, 2021 is the year of everyone having to get a webcam and a microphone and get used to doing Zoom conferences. So now no one has any excuse not to join us on the podcast.
And a proper office at last.
Matt is now speaking from a real office instead of balancing a mic on a kitchen table.
What a time.
So we will be bringing you new people, we'll be bringing you new games, and hopefully some new recommendations of the best stuff to play on mobile, because that is what we do around these parts. So thank you for listening to us. We hope your new year... How can we frame this positively? Well, we hope it doesn't get any worse. How about that? Put it that
sure.
way.
Sure, yeah. I mean, what else can you say?
It's as good as it gets, people. Yeah. We'll catch you all next time. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.